Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 297 with Laura Renner.
And then my brother, who is still active duty, was getting ready to move, and I was just talking with my sister-in-law, and I had that all too familiar conversation about what she was going to do for work at their next duty station. And they were going abroad, so that there had those implications as well. And I started thinking, you know, maybe these business owners could use a virtual assistant. And then when I was talking to my sister-in-law, I thought, here's an untapped resource of talent. Why don't I just put the two together? And that's where it was born, that we pair military spouses with small business owners. So we're helping small business owners get things off their plates, and we're creating portable work opportunities for military spouses.
If you listened to the July 13th Behind Beyond the Uniform episode, you heard me go through some highlights of my conversation with Laura, because I really enjoyed our conversation. She feels like a kindred spirit, and I'm excited about who she is, but also the organization that she started, Freedom Makers. In this interview, we talk a lot about alignment, about figuring out what's uniquely right for you in this moment of time for your career, and how, when you uncover that, how it makes everything easier in your career. It doesn't necessarily make the career or starting a company easy, but it certainly puts some wind in your sail. We talk about Freedom Makers, and I think there's two reasons why this may be interesting for listeners. First of all, Freedom Makers employs military spouses and gives them work that they can do anywhere in the world, which is great for the highly mobile nature that military spouses face. At the same time, Freedom Makers is working with small businesses to provide business owners with virtual assistants who can help them in the crazy tasks that business owners have to tackle and could use help with. And so I think there's many of you who may be able to benefit as a business owner, entrepreneur, or just busy executive who wants extra helping hands and knows that in hiring these virtual assistants, you're helping the military spouse community. There's so much valuable in today's conversation, and you can check out beyonduniform.org for show notes, for a text transcript that's an interview, as well as links to everything we discuss. Special thanks, as always, to all of you who have left positive reviews on iTunes. I wanted to give a shout out to screen name Intermittent Runner, who all the way back in 2016 wrote, "Justin has taken the lead to help fill this gap in information for many active duty members and veterans. He reinforces his guest suggestions and experience with his own insight and experience. He is warm and moves the conversation forward. I wish I had the information he has collected when I was first leaving active duty. Let's support him so he can maintain and even expand his valuable work." Thank you. And for those of you wanting to help us maintain and expand this valuable work, positive reviews on iTunes are greatly appreciated. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Laura. Well, joining me today in Oakland, California, my guest is Laura Renner. Laura, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So for listeners, I'll give you a quick background on Laura. She is the president and founder of Freedom Makers, which creates freedom for small business owners by providing virtual assistants. Their virtual assistants are military spouses who also gain freedom because they can keep working no matter when or where the military moves their family. She started out at the Air Force Academy, served in the Air Force for 6 years as a public affairs officer, earned an international MBA at the Chicago Booth School of Business, and has worked in recruiting in the airline industry and has started a few businesses prior to Freedom Makers. So maybe, Laura, to start off, could you talk us through your decision to leave the Air Force and what the what your life looked like after leaving the Air Force?
Sure. I think for a while I knew I would leave at some point just because I grew up military and I wanted to see what life outside the military was. My dad was career Army. My mom worked on post at the PX. And so it was, our family was all military all the time. And I went straight into it as well. And so it was just something that I knew at some point I wanted to see what life was like outside of the military. And they were offering voluntary separation, and I knew I wanted to get into business. So I thought, well, here's an opportunity. Let's just take it and run.
That's awesome. And I love that context too, of having grown up in that environment and then, you know, wanting to explore, wanting to try new things. So when you left the Air Force, where did you go from there?
I went straight to business school at Chicago. Mm. I showed up on terminal leave.
And I'm kind of always curious, given the road that you ended up going into entrepreneurship, what advice do you have for listeners about, you know, is an MBA essential for that path? Is it helpful? How did you kind of consider that?
You know, I guess I would caution people to don't do what I did, in the sense that I didn't talk to anyone. I just thought, well, I want to go into business. I don't know anything about business, so I should go to business school. I didn't realize the purpose of business school or MBAs or how best to maximize the opportunity of an MBA. I just thought, well, I want to know about business, so I need to go to business school, and I should go to the top one. So I certainly appreciate it and enjoy it. Was it necessary to start a business? Maybe, maybe not, depending on what kind of business you want to start, like if you want to raise funding or if you want to bootstrap it, things like that, or I guess they call it lifestyle business. But it was tremendous. I certainly am glad I went. I do wish I had talked to more people about the opportunities and the best way to get those opportunities once you get out.
Mm. And it's funny because my process was very similar. It was a very high level, you know, I need to know about business, so I'll go to business school. There wasn't a tremendous depth analysis there. That's pretty funny. You also, part of your time was studying in China. You actually lived abroad for a part of your MBA. Could you share a little bit more about that experience?
Sure. And that was one of the reasons I applied to Booth, because they had at the time one of the stronger international MBA programs where it wasn't a dual degree. And so part of it included a quarter, Chicago's on the quarter system. So it included an exchange program with Peking University. And then while I was there, I networked my way into an internship. So I ended up being able to stay there for 6 months. Through the Olympics, which was just fun and fascinating to be a part of that, or to see it happening in such a historic sense, and really just getting to explore business outside of the U.S.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And what would you want, because I want to dive into Freedom Makers, but is there anything else you'd like listeners to know before we get into Freedom Makers about some of the experience you gained between the Air Force and starting the company where you're currently at?
I guess I would recommend really take your time to explore what you're interested in. I think, especially if you went in right out of high school, the military picks for you what you're going to do, you know, and you have some say in it, but really they pick. And then they do this amazing thing where they train you in it. Hmm. And the civilian world is 100% not like that. Some corporations do that, but mostly it's, you got to know what you want and you have to find a way to get some experience to get even looked at for that type of work. And I think oftentimes we leave and we're not prepared for that shift. And so before you leave, if you just take some time to explore what interests you and then figure out how do I explore that more, and just take your time instead of just jumping in.
Mm. Any advice on how to explore that? I think what you're saying is spot on. Like what advice do you have about, like, how do they dabble? How do they kind of get their hands dirty with things?
Sure. I think a big thing is, one of the things I've realized is the military community, we're quite insular, and especially someone like me coming from a military background, I didn't think I knew any civilians or how to talk to them, but you'd be surprised at who knows whom. You know, my own sister-in-law has friends who own hotels, who are flight attendants, who, you know, especially when you're still young, you maybe don't know anyone yet who's left the military and can talk to them, but you'd be surprised at friends and family who are doing other things. And then the other thing I would recommend is, you know, just keep talking to people, keep asking, who do you know that does this? I just would like to talk to them to find out more about it. But then also consider in your volunteer efforts, a lot of people, when we think volunteer, we think we'll go build a house or we'll go hand out food. But those nonprofits, they need finance support. They need HR. They need marketing. So offer to volunteer in sort of the running of the nonprofit to get that experience and exposure to find out, are you interested in finance? Are you interested in marketing or HR or other things? And use that as an opportunity to explore what you're interested in. Even better if you can find a mentor who will give you those opportunities, if you will. Like my first corporate job, I was in HR. I thought I was interested in finance. The controller of the company gave me a finance project that he was able to justify was an HR project. And I worked on that and I thought, yep, not interested in finance. So totally killed any curiosity or about finance because I knew at that point, definitely not interested in finance. Mm. So if you can find a mentor like that who can give you projects, guide you through them, and allow you to explore in sort of a risk-free manner, that's a great way to do it as well.
That's really awesome as well, because in a, you know, let's call it a couple weeks to a couple month project, you ruled out almost an entire functional area, an entire industry, and in another world, you could have spent years going to school and applying and then been in a job for years. It's like so efficient that way that you were able to close that door and say, okay, I know that this isn't right for me. Now I can focus my attention and energy elsewhere.
Exactly.
And I love the thought of the volunteering. I hadn't thought of that, but the volunteering, you know, rather than maybe Habitat for Humanity, like volunteering to help a nonprofit, volunteering in an organization is a way of just kind of getting a little bit more of a taste in the buffet of options out there and getting to know what you like. And I really like what you said about, you know, I think about it in terms of the habitual response that we have. And I felt that too at the Naval Academy and the Navy. There is a lot of autonomy. There is a lot of decision-making control. And then there's a lot of areas where I wasn't aware, where I didn't have decision-making control. And, you know, I had a few options for what service I wanted to go to in the Navy. I had a few options of bases and then very little options in terms of submarines. And then a lot of that then was, I was just kind of on autopilot. And I went to the training I needed to go to. I went to the certification. I got my teeth cleaned. I got my medical. Like so much was, I picture at Disneyland when they have the car ride and you've got the track. So you can move a little bit left or right, but you're pretty much going in the direction Disney wants you to go. And by comparison, there's thousands of options. You know, I had six options in the Navy, thousands of options in the civilian career. So it's orders of magnitude different. And I love what you're saying of realizing the degree to which we habitually respond rather than being proactive and saying, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. And I think that's a great point for listeners.
I think too, I feel like once you get in, you're pretty quick about figuring out how the system works or how the game is played, if you will. And so in a way, maybe when we get out, we think, okay, now I just got to figure out a new game. How different can it be? But to your point, it's many orders of magnitude different. And once you're in where you're going to be, you can figure out that game, but it's a whole different playing field. Or it's like maybe millions of different playing fields and you got to figure out which one is yours and then figure out how to play on that field.
That's great. That's great. Well, I want to dive into Freedom Makers, and let's maybe start with I gave a brief explanation, but let's give listeners a little bit more context. You're on the streets in Oakland, you bump into someone who's, they're in the Army or they're in the Coast Guard and they say, Laura, what do you do for a living? How do you answer that?
My latest iteration is that we pair military spouses with small business owners. So we're helping small business owners get things off their plates, and we're creating portable work opportunities for military spouses.
That's great. That's great. And I shared with listeners, I shared with you right before, but for listeners, in the last couple months, I've done two different consulting projects. One was about virtual assistants. One was about personal concierges. They're both very vibrant fields. And so when I heard about what Laura was doing as a business opportunity, I'm like, oh, that's great. And then the opportunity of tapping into the military spouse community is even better. So it's I'm excited to learn more about this. So take us back to, is there a inception point? Is there a point you can pinpoint where this really clicked and you said, this is what I want to do?
Yes. So I had been trying a few different businesses. I'd taken a corporate job and just nothing was ever sticking. And they say starting a business is hard, but what I realized is the hard or the difficulty in my previous businesses were more about, it just wasn't a fit for me. So it was an uphill battle just trying to motivate myself to do the work, you know, and that one of those businesses was doing recruiting for small business owners. And I was frustrated and I thought it was because that's the nature of starting a business. I'd been doing it for about 2 years. And I was, at the same time, I was coming across a lot of business owners who weren't ready to hire an employee. They didn't have the consistent revenue. So it made them nervous, even a part-time employee. Would they have enough work? Would they be able to afford to pay that that employee? So they didn't want to hire anyone, especially out here in California where it's so hard to hire to begin with. Do you really want to take that risk? And then my brother, who is still active duty, was getting ready to move. And I was just talking with my sister-in-law and I had that all too familiar conversation about what she was going to do for work at their next duty station. And they were going abroad, so that there had those implications as well. And I started thinking, you know, maybe these business owners could use a virtual assistant. And then when I was talking to my sister-in-law, I thought, here's an untapped resource of talent. Why don't I just put the two together? And that's where it was born. Originally, it was supposed to be a service of the recruiting business, but then it kind of just took off and I was so much happier. So I dropped the recruiting side of the business and went straight, just full force into virtual assistants. And that's when I realized, when they say starting a business is hard, they're just talking about everything that needs to be done. If it's hard because you're having trouble motivating yourself, then it's not a right fit of a business idea. For me,
That's beautiful. First of all, I love that starting point. I love how these things come together. That's really incredible. But I'm appreciating this thought. I think of it in terms of alignment, and I definitely relate to what you're saying, and I think many listeners will. I think we've all probably had this experience in either work or in relationship or in where we're living, where it just doesn't feel right. And I love this sense of like the inertia that you have to overcome. I get this picture of you giving yourself a pep talk every morning to go into the office, and it's clear that the wind is in your sail in this direction. And that doesn't mean that what you're doing is easy. It doesn't mean that there's not extreme challenges there. But the fact that it's aligned with your values, it's aligned with who you are, it's aligned with your interests, it's specifically uniquely suited to you, that seems to make a critical difference and gives you the energy to be able to tackle all these thousands of obstacles that must come up every day.
Exactly. And if I could add to that too,
yeah.
When I started thinking about the idea, I'm someone who has a new idea every week, you know? And so I started wondering, how do I know this is a legitimate idea that I'm not going to be bored 6 months from now and want to move on to another idea? Like, how do I know this one is a fit or is in alignment? And it occurred to me, I really forced myself to sit down and think about it because I did not want to go down this path, get other people engaged in the projects and then be like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? And so I realized the big deal for me was freedom. It needed to be completely virtual so that I could run it from anywhere because that's how I live my life. And then that became the guiding principle for everything, including the name of the business. And so one of our ways so now I always say freedom is a guiding principle. Freedom is a guiding principle and it's a core value for the business. And one of the ways we do that for our clients is that we do not have a minimum hour requirement. A lot of VA agencies will say you get, you know, flat 10 hours a month kind of thing. You use or lose those 10 hours. We don't have that. It's totally whatever the business owner needs. And so it's freedom for them. And then, of course, freedom for the spouses because they get to choose the kind of work they want to do. They we don't ever assign work. They say, oh, this one's interesting to me and I'm available for it and I'm qualified to do it. Please consider me for it. That's how we do it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially with the minimum hours, a lot of consultants or quote unquote business experts suggest, you know, you should do the flat rate because then that makes billing easier. It makes revenue projection easier. And all I say is that's not in alignment with our core values. And it just shuts them down right there. And so that has really been critical in guiding the decisions we make regarding how we're going to run the business, because it's all about what creates the most freedom. And then, of course, that impacted our name too.
That is okay. That's awesome. So I know that listeners have heard me talk about working with executive coaches and how they can help you uncover core values and how that simplifies things. This is a beautiful example where as soon as you got clarity around freedom, again, it just feels like the puzzle pieces click in. And what I want to call out for listeners is with Laura, that's helping her say yes to things, but maybe even more importantly, it's helping her say no. And I love the simplicity that brings. And, you know, for me, this is also a very, in the last, you know, very recently I've discovered too, like I view it as kind of freedom and autonomy and independence. Those are, as my wife would say, that's like probably my number one value. And so I relate to the sense of, you know, for me, it's very big. I want to be able to work when I want to work, where I want to work. I want to be location agnostic. And recently an opportunity came up where a classmate from business school came with this position of running a company. And it was very easy to say no, because it's like, well, that sounds like I'm committed to 9 to 5 working in this thing. It's a great opportunity. Someone else might find it their dream job, but I know that with my values, that's not right for me. And it's still difficult to turn down compelling opportunities, but it's a little bit easier to have a measuring stick to say, hey, this is not ultimately going to lead me to fulfillment. And I think that's really great the way that you spelled that out.
Exactly. I totally agree with you in the sense that it does become easier to say no over time as well, because as you live more and more within your values, then it becomes even clearer what's out of alignment with it. Mm. And then it's just it's easier to say no, even if no matter how compelling they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I see that sometimes, especially out here with the tech industry, there's new opportunities coming up all the time. You're like, oh, that's really neat. That's interesting. And then you start to think about it more. It's like, oh, but then I'd have to show up at 9. I'd have to wear real clothes.
Mm. Yep. Yep. You also said something I keyed into it because I think you and I are very similar. You talked about how you get really excited about ideas. And then, you know, I find that too. I have a little bit of ADD when it comes to especially business opportunities where I'll get extremely excited. And I own probably 30 domain names where I get excited. I buy the URL and then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, what was I thinking? And I'm wondering, you know, it sounds like values is one piece, but any other advice on that for anyone else like me who maybe gets excited and then fizzles out? Like, how do you safeguard against that? Or how do you work with that character trait?
At least for me, what I figured out that works is I came up with what I call a phased plan. And it helps me to stay focused where, for me also, I'm not very time-based. And so the whole SMART goal concept is difficult for me because I'm like, well, I don't know if it's going to take me a week or 3 months or a year to accomplish this goal. And so my brother actually inspired this in me. What I did was I would come up with, this is what I'm going to focus on right now. Here are the milestones. Once we've achieved those milestones, then it's safe to move on to the next phase. And it's not time bound. It's rather whenever we hit these milestones is when it's safe to move on. When there's enough traction, if you will, within that phase to move on to the next phase. So that helps me to stay focused. Well, especially now, I feel like my ideas have become more within Freedom Makers versus a whole new business. And so then it's like, well, if you're going to take on 30 initiatives, you're not going to accomplish any of them. So then I've become better about, well, this phase, we'll add that to a later phase. Right now we're focusing on this phase. So then it's nice because I see it when I go, it's an Excel sheet. When I go to that, I can see, okay, you know, phase 7 is this. I have an idea for that phase. Let me add it to the phase. So then it helps me to not get discouraged. Oh, am I ever going to get to do it? Because I'm like, oh, it's there. I'm building it out for when we get to it. And then when I do have business ideas, a couple things I've learned is I do make sure to give myself a few weeks before taking action, because I've noticed they do fizzle out pretty quickly. And then I make sure I talk to at least 3 people to test the idea. Mm. And if they're enthusiastic about it, then it keeps my motivation going. If they're not, then that helps for it to fizzle out more quickly as well. And the nice thing about Freedom Makers as well, with it becoming in alignment, is that also my future plans, I call it the Freedom Maker Empire, where we can basically run all these different businesses from whatever can be done virtually, and then maybe hire people locally for anything that isn't location agnostic, as you said, right? Mm. And so now the phases are, we're going to launch this kind of business. We're going to launch that kind of business. So those are far out phases, but it at least gets me a chance to jot down the idea and keep track of it until I do lose interest in it, or until we get to it.
Mm. I love that. And I'm jotting down notes for myself on this. I think that you gave some really great tactics. I love the talking to 3 people idea. I love waiting a few weeks, but I particularly like this. I think of it almost in terms of buckets, and you call them phases, but what I appreciate about that is I imagine the buckets that are further out, the 7th phase, as you have ideas, as these things are percolating, you toss them in there and they have time to simmer, they have time to marinate. And then that way, when you get there, it's less half-baked. I'm imagining that some of the ideas you're like, oh, let's take this out, this doesn't make sense, rather than executing immediately. And so much of that's wasted and so much that's fat that needs to be discarded. It really has time to gel and really, yeah, really simmer before you actually dive in to start executing.
I love it. Yes,
exactly. And one thing I just want to call out, because we'll talk a little bit about how listeners who have spouses or who are spouses can get involved. But I just want to point out for every listener, and this is obviously just my personal opinion, and some of it's influenced by the consulting project I did, but I do see a lot of the world going towards more and more remote opportunities. Part of that I've seen is driven by the millennials and their desire for independence. Part of that is driven by companies who want to be more efficient, and they want to, you know, employ resources efficiently. And part of that's driven by retention, where as more and more workers want to prioritize their life, if a company is going to retain them, they can't necessarily have everything be right in that place. And so one component of this that Laura and I are talking about, the thought of virtual assistants or virtual workers, plays into that piece. And so even if you're listening and you're not interested in being a virtual assistant, or you're not even interested in working with Freedom Makers, I think there's value in this discussion, because it's going to spill over to different aspects of the business. So all of that being said, could you talk to us, Laura? Let's just start with someone listening is a military spouse and they want to get involved. Could you take us through, first of all, like how that, you know, how from here they go to being involved, and then also paint the picture of what their life looks like. Like, what is it like to be a virtual assistant?
Sure. So for us, the way spouses can get involved is we have an unpublished site that we can send them, so they can reach out to us and we'll send them the site. And it starts off with a video that explains how we work and what to expect. And so if they're interested, then they can fill out a form. I'm a big forms person. And when they do that, then that gets us to create a profile for them where they can highlight their experience and their interests. And then also gets in, if they want, they can be a part of our secret Facebook group of a community of other Freedom Makers to discuss, you know, best practices and share celebrations and maybe even complain a little. Just kidding. But questions, ask questions is the thing. And then from there, then they have a conversation. Right now it's with me, but it really could be anyone on the team, just getting to know them about what their past background is and what type of work they're interested in doing. And one of the things I say in the video is that we're not like other employers where you have to cushion how you explain your experience. We know the military lifestyle. We want to hear what you did with your kids, what you did for volunteering, what you did for work. We want to hear all of it because all of it impacts your capabilities and what you bring to the table. And so, you know, that you don't have to hide anything from us is what we say. So then once they have a conversation with us, they're in the network, if you will. Right now we do send out notifications via email. And so if they see one, and they usually the notifications, we call them opportunity notifications. It has a brief description of the work. It has the estimated hours commitment and the pay rate. So if they're interested, then they can fill out another form explaining their experience. And then based on who all responds, we screen and match with up to 4 of them with the client for the client to speak with. And then the client chooses who they want to work with.
That's great. And I'm assuming there's some sort of like rating system where over time the worker gets kind of rated. And so, you know, they know how they're doing and you know how they're doing. Is that true?
So that's a great example of small business and all the challenges we face when starting a business. That is something we have it very informal, and we are starting to address it and build something of a more formal structure of that. So that'll be rolling out in the next few months.
And I love what you said. It seems like you take a very holistic view to the person. This is not a cog in the machine. This is not a generic worker. Like, you're really getting to know them as a whole person. And I love that because it makes me think of your own story, where when you were out of alignment, when you were doing a job you didn't like, how dissatisfied you were and how much effort it took. And it sounds like you're helping people find the types of roles and capabilities that they're in alignment with, because they're going to be more likely to succeed with that. And I love that thought of even like the volunteer efforts or what they've done with their children, because that's true. That's things they may have enjoyed. That's things they may be good at. It's things they bring to the table. And that's pretty unique. And then the other thing I'll call out is I love that you have this private Facebook group, because I think anyone who's listening, I think that community and connection is always important. And so the question is, when you get stationed in Spain and now you're working there and you're the only worker in your town, how do you have that connection? And you're finding ways to create that virtually, so people living all over the world still have communication, connection, community, and that's very, very clever.
Exactly. We realized with everyone working from home, the chances of two freedom makers knowing each other or even ever interacting are pretty slim, even if they live in the same town. And so that was part of it, is trying to build something so that you're not so lonely when you're working in these, you know, because you're working from home. And another comment was, sometimes when we speak with spouses, they'll say something like, oh, I stopped working when I had my first kid because, you know, my spouse was deployed at the time or something like that. And they're like, so I haven't used my brain in the last 5 years or something. And I always say, you haven't used part of your brain. Like, now you want to use a different part of your brain by coming back to the workforce, because, you know, I don't want to discount what they were doing when they were raising their kids at home. You know, that is not easy. That takes a lot of brain power, and it's a different area of your brain than when you're working in an office. And so that's what I always highlight. I'm like, that you were using your brain. You were just using a different part of it when you were at home versus in the office.
That's great too. And it makes me think for listeners, you know, maybe your motivation for joining something like Freedom Makers isn't primarily even the money. Like, maybe it is having something to stimulate you, something to keep you intellectually curious. And, you know, let's maybe use that to transition to, so someone gets selected, they're one of the four that gets select, or they're chosen from those four people, they're the one that gets selected for the job. What is their, I know the projects probably vary, but what does their life look like? What are some of the things they might be doing?
Sure. And it varies too. I think in order to really get sort of full-time work as a virtual assistant, you have to support multiple clients at a time. And some people struggle with the shifting between clients. And some people are better at one client all the time, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you know, we haven't gotten there yet where we have sort of enterprise clients where you can do one client and have full-time work, right? So that's one thing, is if you're able to shift between clients quickly, kind of, you know, shift your brain, then that's a VA job is something to consider. And then with us specifically, most of our clients tend to be solo business owners, solopreneurs, as I like to call them. So they're wearing every single hat, and they're trying to get hats off of their head, right? And so the ones who tend to have a successful relationship with their freedom maker are the ones where the freedom makers will just take the hat. You know, the ones who are like, how do you want me to hold the hat on your head? You know, that's, they don't quite need that. They're like, just get it off my head kind of thing. So some of that more initiative, or I got it, I'll take care of all of it for you kind of thing. And in that, our top requests tend to be around social media, because that's just, you have, that's a beast that you have to feed every day kind of thing. Including e-newsletters. So those types of touch points with prospective clients tend to be popular. After that, the other request that I see is more what I call data management. And that's not like high tech, you know, 50 million bits of data type thing. It's, I went to a networking event, I have 30 business cards, they've been sitting on my desk for 6 months. Can you get them uploaded to my CRM and send them a LinkedIn connection invitation, right? It's that type of data management. So basically just helping them keep their hair in one place. Mm-hmm. They're all bad analogies, but
no, it's great. It's great. And I think that, you know, I use a virtual assistant for stuff at Beyond the Uniform, and it's few and far between. Like, I have weeks where there's a lot that I need, and there's weeks where I, like the last 2 weeks, I haven't used this person. And so I think you're pointing out, like, the worker, you know, needs to, the freedom maker needs to have ideally multiple people they're working with if their goal is to have a lot of income. Right. And that may appeal to people who like variety. I'm actually like that. I like doing lots of different things. And so if you don't like variety, you don't like that context shifting, that's one way to see if this is in alignment with you. But I also like, you know, I can relate to that as an entrepreneur. You have so much on your plate. And it literally is like, I need someone to do this, and I need someone smart who can figure it out. Like, just figure it out. I don't want to give you instructions. I want it done. And that's another benefit I see with this, is that if you have an entrepreneurial itch, there's a nice aspect of this where you're diving in, and that like what you're explaining to me is very much entrepreneurship. It is, you're thrown into the water and you need to figure it out. You need to swim. You need to just kind of find your own way. And so this is kind of entrepreneurship light, of being able to see what it's like for that solo entrepreneur and being able to get that experience and actually literally take things off their plate and start to get some a bite-sized portion of like, oh, okay, do I like this? Is this overwhelming? Would I want more of this? Would I ever want to be doing all of this? And that's another great benefit that you're providing people.
Exactly. And I'll also add, some of my freedom makers have shared with me what they like is the flexibility that they get to, oh, you know, that's 10 hours a week. I don't have time for that, but this one is 5 hours a week that I would be interested in, and the work seems interesting, and I can commit that kind of time. And then they'll, like, you know, okay, I'll work 2 hours today, and then I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to go pick up my kid. You know, they having that flexibility is what they have shared with me is what they really like about working at with Freedom Makers.
That's great. That's great. And I want to shift slightly. And for listeners, I want to share, you know, when I was doing this research, it became really clear there's so much that I do that I don't need to be doing, right? And so an example might be, you know, my wife wants to go to dinner tonight. I need to find a restaurant and make a reservation, and that's very doable, but I don't need to be the one doing it. Or I want to go to a movie, or we're going to on a vacation and I need ideas of what to do. Like, there's a mill, or I'm buying an air conditioning unit. I need some price comparisons. There's a lot of things that, like, yes, I can do it. It's going to take half an hour, an hour, a couple hours. It doesn't need to be me. And I think that whether you're an executive or an entrepreneur, it doesn't really matter. It's like starting to get thinking in terms of chunks, like what are chunks I can get off my plate? How can I delegate? And I want to ask Laura about if someone listening wants to experiment with this. Maybe they do run their own business. Maybe they're in a job already, but there's just stuff that they need to get off their plate. How does it work for the person hiring the Freedom Maker? How does it work for the person who's going to be working with them?
Well, I'll say I have right now so many thoughts. Let's see if I can organize them.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I'll say is a framework to think about when considering what to delegate is I always say time management versus energy management. So if you think of an example of cooking a meal and then cleaning the dishes afterward, let's assume they both take 30 minutes in this example, this scenario. And is there one that you personally prefer?
Definitely cooking.
Yeah. So yeah. I prefer dishes, right?
Yeah.
In all honesty, right? So let's say, you know, I come to your house, you cook dinner, or no, I'm going to cook dinner and then you're going to do the dishes afterward, right? Are you going to be more drained or less drained after that time?
More.
Yep. More. But it's the same amount of time, right? We both spent 30 minutes on it, but you are more drained after doing dishes than you would have been if you had cooked, right? And so that's the example I like to share is even though it doesn't seem to take a lot of time, if it's not something that gives you energy, it's draining your energy, which then leaves you with less energy to do the tasks that you do enjoy, right? Mm. If you had to do dishes and then cook, how much would you enjoy the cooking afterward?
Oh, much more. Yep.
And so, but if you didn't have to do the dishes at all, how much would you enjoy?
Oh, much more. Yeah. If I didn't have to touch the dishes. Yep. Yep. I love that because it's like finding the pieces that sap our energy.
Yeah.
And I love that distinction with time too, because it is interesting, like, you know, 30 minutes for me of mowing the lawn is excruciating, but 30 minutes of, you know, whatever other activity is energizing, and everyone's different. And I love your example too, because it's like, well, literally in this case, the part that I dislike, you actually enjoy, and vice versa. So it's like, it's just an efficient distribution of a task.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you're thinking about what to delegate, rather than thinking about what takes up most of your time, or sometimes I hear business owners say, yeah, you know, I feel like I would let something go, but I can do it faster than them. That doesn't matter because first of all, presumably you're paying them less than you make. So time doesn't necessarily matter in that regard. But also if it's, yes, you can do it faster, but if it doesn't give you energy, it's not worth it. Right. And so then start there. Like, what drains your energy? And of those things, what do you feel comfortable letting go of? Because that's another big thing. Like in my business, I still handle all the payroll and billing. And people say, well, that's something you could delegate. I just don't feel comfortable letting that go. I'm sure at some point it will get too big or too cumbersome that yes, I will be ready to let it go. But at this point, that's not the case. So I'm not going to let it go. And whereas I feel, you know, there are other things that I have let go where someone else may not have let go because it's just whatever you're comfortable with.
I love that too, because the example that came to mind for me that I most rely on the virtual assistant for is doing the show notes for Beyond the Uniform. It takes 10 minutes. It's very easy. It's not a huge time thing. And I hate doing it. And it's almost like the way I view it is like, what's on your dread list? What is the to-do list that is constantly getting kicked down the curb? That was one where I'm just always kicking, or with my company Storybox, I hate nagging about invoices. And it was the consistently week in, week out, it was the to-do list that always got pushed a week. It got pushed a week, it got pushed a week. Finally, I realized, like, it's not about time. It's about, I'm just not doing it. And so I took the time to like write down the processes and turn this over in a way that I was comfortable. And now it's just like a huge weight off my shoulders. It's not even necessarily the time. It's that energy it was soaking up and all that dread of just like, oh, feeling guilty that I'm not doing this.
Exactly. And that grows and it takes up more and more space in your brain to the point where when you're showering, when you're driving, when you're exercising, you're like, oh, I got to do that. And then it just takes up so much space. And once you let it go, it's such a huge relief.
Yep.
And I would say that leads to my final point, which is when you say, you know, that great example where you said you wrote out the processes to have someone else do it. And what if you had done that and it ended up being 100 steps and it was, it's too big. How can I let someone else do this? It's so big. And I really can't let all of it go. Then in that case, I say, you know, start with the biggest thorn in your side. So maybe it's the first 20 steps you let and you'd still do the last 80 or in the middle or at the end, that kind of thing. There is an example, a business owner said he had built out a whole process for researching prospects, then reaching out to them and then taking notes afterward. And he had worked it all out. And he just wasn't ready to let the whole thing go. And I said, okay, well, what about you just let go of the research part first? And then once you're comfortable, maybe let go another part after that. And so just break it down into smaller, smaller chunks until the part you're comfortable letting go, let that go. And then I always say it's like the thorn in your side type thing where once that thorn is gone, the next one comes up and you just keep letting go each little thorn until and it's always going to happen as a small business owner. You're always going to have the next thorn. But then maybe once you let go completely of invoicing, now show notes is bothering you. So then you start working on the little pieces to let show notes go. And then the next thing bothers you. And then, you know what I mean? So you start to, you get a little bit of relief and then the next thing comes up. And but it's nice. It's fun once you realize, oh, I want that relief again. What can I let go?
Yep. And I'll point out too for listeners, like one of the reasons why I've really appreciated having a virtual assistant is I've learned, and longtime listeners know this, I've learned I don't enjoy managing people. And, you know, part of that is the dependency and, you know, if this person leaves and it's a pain in the butt to find someone and the amount of vetting. And, you know, one of the best professors I had at business school, he's a chairman at JetBlue Airlines, said if he hired 50% of the time correctly, he would have been happy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's also this enormous risk in just realizing that even the best people get it wrong half the time. And so there's a lot of risk in training someone and losing them. And then, you know, the difficult conversation of having to fire them and all of these things. And then the other component is like, I'm very efficient. I want the most out of someone. So if I'm paying them to be there all day, then I'm wondering, like, have I given them enough to do? And so just a couple of things that I would point out about what Freedom Makers is doing is, first of all, you know, I work with someone there. If they leave, great, I've got the process there. It can be turned over to someone else. It's a very easy, interchangeable piece. I don't have to train someone that much. And then the other piece is, look, if I have a week where I've got a ton to do, I can pay them to do a lot. And if I have a week where I have nothing to do, I'm not necessarily paying. I'm assuming there's some sort of model that's either subscription or paid by time or something like that. But it's at least, no matter what model it is, it's at least less than paying someone full time when you might not have full time worth of work.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I tend to say there are four types of VA companies. There are the tech companies like Upwork or Fiverr where you do have to go find them yourself. Then there are the independent freelancer ones where it is a solo person. So then you have to contend with their availability, but also having backups or things like that. Then you have the international companies. So if you're comfortable with working with someone who's not familiar with Western management practices or different time zones, things like that. And then there are the agency model, which is what we are. And so we have what we call a success manager. And so they're there to help ensure the relationship is successful. And if it's not, to address it, to find a replacement, to bring in a second person for high volume times, or maybe for a one-time project. You know, so we do all that exactly like you said, so that the business owner doesn't have to manage like an employee, and they have the availability to get the work done as needed.
Mm. And I know we're running short on time, but I also know a lot of listeners are interested in entrepreneurship, and I'm just curious, any advice you have if someone is in the military or maybe they've already separated, but they have that itch to start a company, what thoughts do you have for them?
I think my biggest one, especially in line with what we've discussed today, is build it the way you want to live. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, I know the 4-hour work week, it can be kind of a cliche book and it's a bit extreme, but just the premise of it, of build it how you want to live. And so I've seen that where business owners, one, there's this, misconception of hustle. You have to hustle in order to succeed. But also if you don't think through how you want to structure your business in the sense of how you work with clients, what kind of clients, when you work with them, who's going to work with them? Is it going to be you or are you going to hire people to work with them? Things like that. Then I see people who end up working 12, 15 hour days just because they have to, because they haven't structured their business to be how they want it to be. And in order just to, it becomes another treadmill or what's it called? The mouse wheel, right?
Yep.
And so think through, how do I want to live my life and build your business model around that? An example, a friend of mine, she's a career coach and she kept thinking, oh, I need to do the online class, get that passive income from the online classes. And it wasn't in alignment. And she kept struggling with trying to get it up and running. And then she had this epiphany a couple weeks ago. She's like, my favorite thing is training and one-on-one work with clients. And so she let go all of that other things that she thought she wanted to do and just has now just buckled down on, I want to work with individual clients and I want to offer training through workshops. And it's like released so much for her. And so that's, I will say, you know, again, going back to take that time to figure out what you want to do, think through how you want to structure or model your business so that it gives you the kind of life you want to live, regardless of how much money it makes. But rather, like we were saying, location agnostic, or what kind of time you're going to spend on it, what kind of clients you're going to work with, those types of things. And I feel like the 4-hour work week at least will get you to think about how you want to structure that.
I think that's incredible. I love, you know, we've talked about alignment. Another way for listeners to think about this is honesty and integrity. And I think in the military, especially at the academies, it's kind of drilled into you. I have a very narrow view of integrity as kind of saying the right thing, doing the right thing. But I think there's an aspect here of being brutally honest with ourselves. And for listeners who've listened to other episodes, you'll remember for me, for years, for half a decade, I told myself, I was in the military, I'm great at managing people, that's what I'm going to do. And I kept on telling that to myself until I realized, like, oh, I actually really dislike it. It was my wife who pointed out, she's like, you really don't like managing people. It really frustrates you. And there's like this moment of like, oh man, I want to view myself as a manager. I want to continue to tell the story. And that's just not me. That's, you know, that's just not who I am. And so I love this thought of being honest as we change over time. And I also like how you pointed out hustle. I've talked about Gary Vaynerchuk before, Gary V. There's a lot about Gary V that I like. There's a lot about his podcast and his message that I like. And that's another one where I'm being honest. If I'm honest about looking at the points in my life where I've really excelled and succeeded, it wasn't because I had this mindset of like, oh, I'm going to grin and just hustle and work 24 hours. You know, as much more I was so in love with what I was doing, I was so impassioned that the time didn't really make a difference. It was an act of creative self-expression. Mm-hmm. And so for me, if I'm trying to tap into hustle, that takes me in a very different direction rather than like, how can I set myself up to create something that comes from my heart? And that's where I'm in flow. That's where I really have the benefit of like this wind blowing with me. And so all of this is kind of, we're circling around the same thing of alignment or integrity. But I think that, Laura, you're really articulate at showing this in practice for your company, for yourself, for your workers, for the clients that you work with. Everything here is meticulously in alignment. And that is not, I just, you know, externally, I'm going to predict that is not easy by any means to meticulously build a company that's in alignment. I think there's a lot of soul searching, a lot of honesty here and rigor. But when you get that built up, you've built an engine that's just gliding in the way that is going to be best for you and your clients and your workers. And I really admire that. That's not easy to do.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel like in some ways it's become easier, as we were saying, like when you get more clear, it becomes easier to say no, right? But at the same time, there is a lot of doubt. Sometimes I wonder, is this the right path? Could we be more successful if we had gone the path everyone else seems to go down? And so that has become, you know, that's probably the biggest thing that nags me. Like, I do still wonder, is this the right path? And then, but also I recognize that this might be a different path a year from now, you know, or 10 years from now, depending on, you know, as we continue to grow or as we choose to address certain aspects of our business and also the market, maybe that will shift as well. But I really, a big lesson for me is one day at a time, mm-hmm. one door at a time, focus on that. And then don't worry about the next door. It'll present itself when it's time.
I love that too. I love that as a discipline of staying present with what's happening. And I can think in my own business experience where I stuck to the founding vision when the market had changed and our customers had changed and how that was so detrimental to our business. But if I had built up that discipline you're talking about of like moment by moment, what is right? What is in alignment for us as a company, for me as an individual? That's a way to stay in tune with the market. That's a way to stay in tune with yourself and your team and your employees and your clients, rather than like, you know, I think this partly comes from the military for me, rather than like, this is the way it is and I'm going to make this work and I'm going to break through walls. You know, maybe the wall isn't worth breaking down. Maybe there's now a freeway right next door that I can hop on rather than trying to pummel through this. I know we have just a few minutes left, and I always like to leave the last question open-ended and just kind of turn the mic over to you. And you can take that either as what have we not covered that you want listeners to know, or what are some final words of wisdom that you want to leave listeners with?
Oh my gosh. I will say, I really enjoyed our conversation today. It's been a lot of fun. I don't know if there's anything more. I'm afraid if I say anything else, we'll talk for another 30 minutes.
Oh, I love it. And I feel the same way, you know, being honest, since we're talking about honesty, I'd kind of entered in, and it's a day that's very full. And there was part of me where it's like, this will be great if we can just do 30 minutes, be to the point and wrap it up. And clearly this was not one of those conversations. It's one that we could have gone for 2 hours. And so, I want to thank you, Laura, for first of all, for joining us on the show. Second of all, for the work that you're doing to support the military community. I want to highlight for aspiring entrepreneurs, in addition to being in alignment, Laura has found a business where it is good financially. It's a solid business and it's doing good in the world. And I want to highlight that there is a possibility to do both. You don't have to, you know, she doesn't have to make these sacrifices for herself, her family, to make this work and save these military spouses. She's doing something that works for her and for the military community. I think that's really great to have both of those be equally weighted. And yeah, I think that there's something in here for, if you are interested as a military spouse, their website is freedom-makers.com. It'll be in the show notes. And if you're interested as an employer, even if you're just an individual, or maybe you work at a company, you can go there as well and find out about using a virtual worker to work more efficiently and to get some of the negative energy off your plate to free up for the stuff you enjoy.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
Surface. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. And every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you in more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free-flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all-volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheuniform.org, there is a newsletter. You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly, and the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something that you can do, a positive review on iTunes is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful week. We will be back Monday, Thursday, and Saturday with more interviews. And keep up the listening. Take care.